If anyone here has any alimentic metals, pass them out to your soldiers and have them ingest them.
My lord, Demu said, confused as he turned.
It's a long story, Demu, Ellen said. Suffice it to say that your god, or somebody, has made you and your men into allomancers. Divide your men by the metal it turns out they can burn. We're going to need all of the coin shots, thugs, and lurchers we can get.
Sazed's eyes fluttered open, and he shook his head, groaning. How long had he been out? Probably not long, he realized, as his vision cleared. He'd passed out from lack of air. That kind of thing usually left one unconscious for a short time, assuming one woke up at all. Which I did, he thought, coughing and rubbing his throat, sitting up. The Chondra cavern glowed with the quiet light of its blue phosphorescent lanterns. By that light, he could see that he was surrounded by something strange. Mistwraiths. The cousins of the Chondra, the scavengers that hunted at night and fed on corpses. They moved about Sazed, masses of muscle, flesh, and bone, but with those bones combined in strange, unnatural ways. Feet hanging off at angles, heads connected to arms, ribs used like legs. Except these bones were not actually bone at all, but stone, metal, or wood. Sazed stood up solemnly as he looked over the remnants of the Chondra people. Littered across the floor, among the jumbled mass of mistwraiths, who oozed about like giant, translucent slugs, were discarded spikes. Chondra blessings, the things that had brought them sentience. They had done it. They had held to their oath and had removed their spikes rather than be taken over by ruin. Sazed looked over them with pity, amazement, and respect. The Atium, he thought. They did this to stop ruin from getting the Atium. I have to protect it. He stumbled away from the main chamber, regaining his strength as he made his way to the trust warren. He paused, however, as he approached, noticing sounds. He peeked around a corner and looked down the corridor through the open trust warren doorway. Inside, he found a group of Chondra, perhaps 20 in number, working to push back the plate on the floor that covered the Atium. Of course they didn't all become mistwraiths, he thought. Some would have been outside of the hearing of the firsts, or wouldn't have had the courage to pull their spikes free. In fact, as he thought about it, he was even more impressed that so many had obeyed the command from the first generation. Sazed easily recognized Khan Par directing the work inside. The Chondra would take the Atium and would deliver it to ruin. Sazed had to stop them. But it was 20 against 1, with Sazed having only one small metal mind. It didn't seem like good odds for him. However, then Sazed noticed something sitting outside the doors of the Trust Warren. A simple cloth sack, of little note save for the fact that Sazed recognized it. He'd carried his metal mines in it for years. They must have tossed it there after taking Sazed captive. It lay about 20 feet down the corridor from him, right beside the doorway into the Trust Warren. In the other room, Khan Par looked up, staring directly towards Sazed's position. Ruin had noticed him. Sazed didn't pause to think further. He reached into his pocket, grabbed the steel lock, and tapped it. He rushed through the corridor on inhumanly quick feet, snatching his sack from the ground as Chondra began to cry out. Sazed snapped open the sack and found a collection of bracelets, rings, and bracers inside. He dumped them out, spilling the precious metal mines to the floor, and grabbed two particular ones. Then, still moving at blurring speed, he dashed to the side. His steel mind ran out. One of the rings he'd grabbed was pewter. He tapped it for strength, growing in size and bulk. Then he slammed the doors to the trust warren closed, causing those now trapped inside to cry out in shock. Finally, he tapped the other ring, this one iron. He grew several times heavier, making himself into a doorstop, holding the massive metal doors to the trust warren closed. It was a delaying tactic. He stood, holding the doors shut, his metal mines depleting at an alarming rate. They were the same rings he'd worn at the siege of Luthadel, the ones that had been embedded within him. He'd replenished them following the siege, before he'd given up Farrakemi. They would not last long. What would he do when the Khandra burst through the door? He searched desperately for a way to bar or block the portal, but could see nothing. And if he let go for even a moment, the Khandra inside would burst free. "Please," he whispered, hoping that, like before, the thing that listened would give him a miracle. "I'm going to need help."
"I swear it was him, my lord," said the soldier, a man named Riddle. "I believed in the Church of the Survivor since the day of Kelsier's own death, my lord. He preached to me, converted me to the rebellion. I was there when he visited the caves and had Lord Damu fight for his honor. I'd know Kelsier like I'd know my father. It was the Survivor."
Elland turned to the other soldier, who nodded in agreement.
"I didn't know him, my lord," said this man. "However, he matched the descriptions. I think it was really him, I do."
Elland turned to Damu, who nodded.
"They described Lord Kelsier very accurately, my lord. He is watching over us."
"Elland." A messenger arrived and whispered something to Damu. The night was dark, and in the torchlight, Elland turned to study the two soldiers who had seen Kelsier. They didn't look like highly reliable witnesses. Elland hadn't exactly left his best soldiers behind when he'd gone campaigning. Still, others had apparently seen the Survivor, too. Elland would want to speak with them. He shook his head. And where in the world was Vin?
"Elland."
"My lord," Damu
said, touching his arm, looking concerned. Elland dismissed the two soldier witnesses. Accurate or not, he owed them a great debt. They had saved many lives with their preparation.
"Scouts report, my lord," Damu said, face illuminated by a pole-top torch flickering in the night breeze. "Those Kolos you saw, they are heading this way, moving quickly. Scouts saw them approaching in the distance from a hilltop. They could be here before the night is over."
Elland cursed quietly.
"Elland."
He frowned. Why did he keep hearing his name on the wind? He turned, looking into the darkness. Something was pulling him, guiding him, whispering to him. He tried to ignore it, turning back to Damu. And yet it was there in his heart.
"Come."
It sounded like Vin's voice.
"Gather an honor guard," Elland said, grabbing the torch by its shaft, then throwing on an ash cloak and buttoning it down to his knees. Then he turned toward the darkness.